coming for the reading of God's Word this morning. And let me say this before we ever get started today, okay? You women, you mothers, can relax. We're not preaching on mothers this morning, amen? I know that's a traditional thing in a lot of churches, they preach on Father's Day and Mother's on Mother's Day and the bunny rabbit on Easter and Santa Claus on Christmas. I don't generally follow tradition, never have. The whole time I've been here, occasionally I preach certain messages on like Christmas or Mother's Day or something, but very seldom ever do that. And that's not the case again this morning. All right, I want to preach what the Lord's given me. Hope it'll be a help to you. While meditating down through the Scriptures while we were gone, it seemed that the Lord spoke to my heart from these verses. And I want to try to bring you the thought. And it is a feeble thought, not much to it, unless God adds a little meat behind it. But we'll do our best to try to help this morning. Psalm 115. Psalm 115 in the Word of God this morning. Psalm 115, okay? And we're going to put in reading it, verse number 1. We're going to read all 18 verses of the chapter. The Bible said in verse 1 of Psalm 115, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Boy, I'm not preaching on that, but I'm going to tell you something. You need to look at that a little bit. "For he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat." Well, these guys are in bad shape, ain't they? I mean, they are in bad shape. Verse 8 says, "They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth forevermore." Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the privilege of being in God's house this morning. I'm thankful for the good Sunday school hour that we had, Lord, and good exhortation from the Word of God. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the mothers that are here today. We congratulate them. They brought forth children, Lord, as you've ordained in the Word of God that they should do. We're thankful and grateful for them. I pray that you'll bless them on this special day that we've set aside for them. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the house of God and the preaching of thy Word this morning. I pray you'll bless those that are in special need. Help Sister Gray this morning. Bless the Grays while they travel. I do ask you, Lord, to help those that are sick and those in hospitals and those in beds of affliction. I pray for special grace this morning and power to preach. I pray for liberty now and unction. May the Holy Ghost of God speak and work in every heart to do that which pleases God and glorifies your precious and wonderful name. And we'll thank you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right, in verse number 8, the Bible said there, "They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone, notice these words, that trusteth in them. And then he makes a statement, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. And then he goes on to speak about the house of Aaron, trusting in the Lord. And then he speaks of those that fear the Lord, that they too are to trust in the Lord. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he also mentions in the latter verses that all of those, the house of Israel, the house of Aaron, and those that fear the Lord, amen, shall be blessed of the Lord. And so I want to take this chapter this morning, if God will help me, and preach for just a little while on trusting in the Lord. I think that's a good thought, and I think God's people would fare much better if we had put a greater trust and greater confidence in our Lord rather than trusting in ourselves and in what we can accomplish. We need to put our faith and confidence in Him and not what necessarily is He can accomplish, but what He already has. Because the promises of the Lord are yea, and in Him is no nay. That means the Lord has already done what He's going to do, and you just haven't realized some of it yet. Amen. We've not got to heaven yet, but He's got some things prepared for us. For those that trust Him and believe in Him, and those that have lived for Him, the Lord's got some things prepared for them in heaven itself. Now, I want you to notice the psalmist, how he begins this little psalm. He begins by describing the gods of the heathen. And I don't want to have to read all them, but they explains there, describes how they have the body features of you and I. They have mouths and hands, but they can't use their hands, and they can't use their mouth. They don't speak, and they have ears, but they can't hear. They have feet and legs, but they can't walk. They had everything that man has, but they cannot do that which man can do. And certainly they're gods of gold and silver, the Bible said, and they cannot accomplish what God can accomplish for them. And so he describes them here. But you know, the thing that amazes me is that he calls them idols that are of silver and gold. And as far as I know, silver and gold are two of the most wealthiest metals, two of the greatest metals that is in the earth today. And so he said their idols are made out of silver and gold. And the thing that amazes me is that how much men will invest in those things that will profit them absolutely nothing. I'm amazed today, and honestly, there are many gods today. There really are. And I don't have time to go into all of them, and I'm not necessarily talking about the gods of false religions. But I'm talking about these kind of gods that the Lord is mentioning here in Psalm 115. And I'm amazed at the money that men will invest in their God. Now, I said that to say this. A God, if your God can deliver you. And that's what these men are expecting. They're investing what they have in a God that they hope to deliver them. But I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, there is but one God that delivers, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He delivers our soul from sin. That's right. He delivers us from falling. And someday He is going to deliver us from this present evil world that we're living in. And yet men today will continue to invest their money. They will invest their time. They will invest their own lives in gods made of silver and gold that will never deliver man. And, you know, one of those things is money. And I'm not against people having money. In fact, I'd like to have a little more of it myself. There's nothing wrong with having money, but the problem comes in when money has you. That's where the problem comes in, when money controls you. And rather you controlling your money, and there's a lot of people in this world today that have let their money control them rather than them controlling their money. And in doing that, they've made a god out of that money. I think some men have made a God out of power. That's right. They think that power will deliver them. The leaders of the world today, and especially the one leading America, I really believe has gotten the idea that his power is going to deliver America. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Power and wealth will not deliver America. There is only one person, I started to say thing, but he's not a thing. There is only one person that is going to deliver America, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, until we turn back to Him, we're going to continue in sin and drifting farther away from God and deeper into depravity, and souls are going to die and go to hell without God until America realizes that there is a God in heaven, as the Bible said here, that does what He pleases, and He must be recognized as that in men, before men. And our power is not going to deliver us. It certainly won't. It won't deliver a soul, and it won't deliver a nation. And it will not deliver a church. And so He describes these gods. And then in verse number 8, and actually through verse number 12, He makes a distinction between those idols and the true God of glory. And there is a great distinction there. They're idols. They are idols. Listen now. They are idols that are made by man. That's what the Bible said in verse 8. They that make them are like them. I've never quite understood how anybody could believe that something that they made themselves can deliver them from sin or in a time of crisis. When Israel Aaron built that golden calf, and they said, "These be the gods that brought us out of Egypt," and they were looking to that golden calf to take them back down into the land of Egypt. But it was man-made. Now I'm telling you, there is not one thing that man has made that can deliver man. It takes God to deliver man. That's why I'm talking about trusting in the Lord. Oh, house of Israel, trust in the Lord. Oh, house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. Oh, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. We're not to trust in those idols that are made by man, but we are to trust in the God that made man. Now, there's a difference there. These heathen are trusting in idols that man made, and we're trusting in a God that made man. And there's a big difference there. Somebody say amen. Help me out a little bit. Amen. A big difference there. And so we are to trust in the Lord. Now, in verses 9 through 10, 9, 10, and 11, the house of Aaron and Israel, and they that fear Him, the Bible said, they're instructed to trust the Lord because He and He alone has the power to deliver them. Now, that Old Testament word, the Old Testament word trust, is used 152 times in the Old Testament. It's simply the New Testament term for faith. It's simply an Old Testament term that is used in the New Testament for the word faith. And what He's saying is here that Israel ought to have faith in God, and that the house of Aaron ought to have faith in God, and that ye that fear the Lord ought to have your faith in God. Now, I want to say to you this morning that that is exactly where our faith ought to be this morning. Not in something man has made or man can make or something man has done, but our faith ought to be in God this morning that made man. Amen. Because He is able to deliver us, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm amazed at how the marvelous, glorious hand of God can reach down into the depth of a human soul that's depraved in sin and without God and without hope, and can quicken that mortal, that man, and save him by His marvelous grace, lifting him out of the sin of degradation and placing him on that solid rock. Amen. Pointing him in the right direction. I'm amazed at how our God can do that. Amen. And we're to trust in Him. That's right. And have faith in Him. Now that word faith signifies to take refuge. I'm glad I've got a refuge in Christ. Amen. That word also means to lean on. I'm glad, thank God, I can lean on Him. When I'm tired and weak, I've got someone I can lean on that's able to hold me up. That's right. I'm going to tell you. Now, you may not believe this. Some of you young fellas in here that still got your physical strength. But man is weak. Amen. Not in body, but in soul. Amen. And he must have somebody to lean upon. And so Christ, we're to trust Christ because we can lean upon him and trust him. He will not, now get it now, he will not let you fall. Oh, as I look around me today, many church members are falling. They're falling by the wayside. We're living in that hour of a great falling away. And there's many falling away, but I won't say this morning, that not one that has ever found a refuge in Christ and not one that has ever leaned upon Christ has ever fallen because they have got, they're on a firm foundation and they have got a strong one that they can lean upon and trust in that time of need. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Now that word also means to roll upon. And somebody said, "What do you mean? How in the world is trusting in him going to roll upon him?" Well, it's simple if you stop and think about it. We have, as a sinner, come on now, we have rolled our sins upon Christ. Amen. That's what they were talking about when they crossed the Red Sea. Their reproach was rolled away. And the Bible said about Jesus, those that reproach thee, the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen upon me. I'm glad this morning, thank God, that my sin has been rolled upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't carry that sin. It was a weight that had bogged me down. And I just couldn't carry it any further. But I'm glad when I rolled it upon Christ, hallelujah to God, he carried it all the way to Calvary. Died on Calvary's cross, carried it into a borrowed tomb, and came out of that tomb without that sin, leaving it in that tomb behind him. Why? Because that sin is dead for you and I that are saved. And it hath no more power and no more dominion on us. They thought Christ was going to die that day. But I'm glad that sin died that day for you and I. Hallelujah. In that, yeah, that's right now. And then it not only means to roll upon, but it means to stay upon. God help us. I'm glad I can stay upon him this morning. Amen. Somebody said, "You afraid of falling off?" No, I'm not an Armenian. I'm a Baptist. I don't think we can fall off. Praise God, we're all. I'm on him. That's right. Somebody said, "How do you know you're on him?" Because when they lifted me out of that horrible pit, he set me upon a solid rock. And that rock that followed them was Christ. And so I am on him this morning. But I'm telling you, I'm stayed upon him. Thank God the hand of power holds me there and stays me upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. The Lord says, the Lord gives them at least three reasons why they are to trust in him. The Bible said number one, it said in verses 9, 10, 11, all three of them, that he is our help. O Israel, trust in the Lord, for he will help thee. He will help, he is their help and their shield. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he's my help and a very present help in trouble. Somebody said, "Well, I don't have any troubles." Well, praise God, get saved and you will have. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, even lost people have trouble. Everybody I know has trouble. As the sparks fly upward, ladies and gentlemen, men have trouble. Man that is born a woman, whether he's lost or saved, is a few days that is full of trouble. And so we're going to have those troubles. You better believe we're going to have those troubles. Amen. But I'm glad that we've got a help, a present help in that time of trouble. I've seen troubles in my own life. That's right. I've been troubled many times. Troubled in the ministry. Troubled in the home. Troubled in my own personal life. Troubled in the church. But I'm telling you, he is a help, a present help in your trouble. Now I'll tell you where I'm finding him help today. Is in the sickness of my body. Oh, hallelujah to God. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that when we're sick in body, that Christ is there to help us? And I'll tell you what really helps me more than anything in the world is to know that He has allowed it to be there for a reason. Boy, I can't understand that. I don't figure it out. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, God has let it be there for a purpose that He might fulfill His purpose within my life. And if you're sick in your body this morning, God has allowed you to be sick in your body that a purpose in your life might be fulfilled by Him. What a wonderful God we have. Amen. I ready to throw this handkerchief in the baptistry. I don't know if you can keep track of it for some reason. Need to wipe the slobbers maybe a little bit here. But I marvel at how God helps us. Helps us to maintain our life as a Christian. Helps us to walk uprightly. Helps us to be honest. Helps us to be holy. If you let Him, He'll even help you to be happy. Praise God, He'll put a smile on your face. Amen. Woo! That's right. That's why we're to trust Him. Because He'll help us. I'm going to tell you, the arm of flesh will fail you. But I'm telling you, trusting on Christ and leaning on Christ, He'll help you and not fail you in your time of need. Amen. Oh, I would to God that people, when they have calamities in their life, in their family, would learn to turn to the Lord. Rather than turn to their own ways and try to conquer these problems and in the needs in their life by their own self, it'll never get done that way, folks. I'm telling you, it takes God. Oh, I think of families that's got wayward children, and believe you me, there's plenty of them. You know what's going to conquer that child that's wayward? Christ. That's why we're to trust in Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, if you'll ever get a hold of Him in your prayers, I'll guarantee you, God will answer your prayers. Amen. That wayward child, God is able to bring home, safely home, back into the fold of God where it belongs. By His marvelous grace. Amen. I could go on and on. There's a lot of places we need to trust Him. And because He'll help us. And then we're to trust Him because He is our shield. Amen. And I marvel at that word shield. It means to hedge about, to protect, and defend. Oh my, that is, we're hedged about. No wonder we ought to trust in the Lord. We're just, somebody said, well, Job had a hedge. Hey, Job ain't the only one with a hedge. Praise God, I'm glad I've got a hedge around me this morning. And if you're saved, you've got a hedge around you this morning. Somebody said, what is that hedge? It's not a what, it's a who. You're surrounded this morning by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. You're also surrounded by the grace of God. Amen. You're also held in the hand of the love of God. And you're also blessed by the mercy of God. I'm glad that we've got a hedge about us this morning that the devil can't break through and neither can Satan. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen. Amen and amen. And then it says, and I'm amazed at this, and I don't want y'all to think that I'm being, I don't want to offend God when I say what I'm getting ready to say. But He said in verses 12 and 13 that He had blessed them. He had blessed the house of Israel and the house of Aaron. And He would also bless them that fear Him. Bless them. And you know, if you just look a few times, you get awful educated just by looking at Strong's Concordance. And I looked up that word bless, and it means to kneel and bless God as an act of adoration. Amen. And I said to myself, that's great. But it's not talking about here about blessing God. Right. It's talking about God blessing you and I. Amen. And it's the same word. Come on in the house, boys and girls. The word blessed there is the same word that is used in the place where you and I are called upon to bless the Lord. To kneel down and adore Him. And Strong's, this is not Brother Hall, but this is Strong's Concordance. It went on to say, and vice versa. Man as a benefit. Oh, if you can get a hold of that. Oh, I'm about ready to have a running fit, Brother Troy. We're to kneel down and adore our God and bless our God. But the Bible said that if we'll trust in the Lord, that the Lord will also grant us the benefits and the blessings of life that we need. Now, I don't want to get too, I don't want to say something I oughtn't to say, but it's the same word. I marvel at the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ that humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If I understand that verse at all, what it's saying is that he will bow himself and kneel himself and will bless you and I by adoring us, and not necessarily us, but us in what his own grace has done for you and I. He is marveling at his own grace and his own work that's been done upon the soul of man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Man want to have a running spell. Amen. To know that God would bless me, even me. With all my sin, God will still bless me. Amen. What a God we have. That's right. I marvel at that. That's wonderful. Look it up. You don't have to take Hall's word for it. Look it up yourself. Now, wherein should you and I trust God? I've got three little points and I'm done. He said, house of Israel, trust the Lord. He said, house of Aaron, trust the Lord. All ye that fear the Lord, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And what are we, wherein are we supposed to trust Him? Well, there's so many areas, you know, I could say 100,000 things probably. But I wrote down three little things that I think are pretty pertinent. You know, I think we ought to trust Him. I think we ought to trust Him with our soul. We ought to trust. And I learned something about the soul of man that I've never seen before when I studied this out. We ought to trust Him. We ought to trust Him for our soul. And one reason being is because the soul of man is precious. I don't believe we realize how precious, and I don't believe we know why it's precious. But the Bible said in Psalms 49 and verse 7 and 8, verse 6, 7 and 8, He said, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious. And it ceases forever. Now, what makes the soul of man so precious? What makes the soul of man so precious? It's because it's eternal. Man, I've never given this a lot of thought than the line I'm getting ready to tell you about. But man's soul is eternal. How did it become eternal? I don't think I'm going to take time to turn there. I may turn there. But in Genesis, and I will turn there real quickly if I can find it. But in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 13. Nope. Wrong place. That's 3. And verse number 7. The Bible said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? A living soul. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That is, that man's soul that God breathed into that dust is an eternal thing today, ladies and gentlemen. It shall never cease. Get a hold of this. It may be depraved, but it will never die. It may be depraved, but it will never die. And the reason it's eternal, come on, I've never seen this before. When God breathed into his nostrils, at his nostrils, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. God breathed into Adam the very the very life of Almighty God. Oh, I'm telling you, I like to have a fainting spell when God moved on my heart with that. The man actually became the part of God that day because He's eternal. That soul is precious. Get a hold of this now. The spirit of man died when Adam sinned. And the body of man is defiled. But the soul of man is only depraved. It dies not. No, and I marvel at how precious it is. Simply because our Lord Jesus Christ breathed into our nostrils that breath of life, and we became a living soul. Now, I want to say two or three things here right quickly. And it's sad because Psalm 142, I want you to get a hold of this. Psalm 142, the Bible said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. Notice verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. Here it is. And no man cared for my soul.
Yes.
As precious as the soul is. It is an eternal part of man. And it's so precious. And yet the Bible said that there was no man that cared for his soul. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we're in a sad shape today. When there's very few men that I know of that really cares for the souls of mankind. Souls that are depraved. Souls that are going to hell for an eternity. Not to die in hell, but to live in hell for all eternity without God and without hope. And yet there's no man, the Bible says, that cares for their soul. But here's where the amazing thing comes in. Don't nobody leave me now. I want you to look in Proverbs chapter number 8. Don't have a running fit. Now I'm going to read a lot of verses. Just take our time. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 23. And you're going to have to think with me on who this is referring to. The Bible said, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment. When He appointed the foundations of the earth. Then was I by Him as one brought up with Him. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always in Him. What do you reckon that's talking about? That's talking about the Son of God. Oh, yes. Christ, the Son of God, was with God in the beginning. In fact, He was very God in the beginning. Oh, my soul. But I'll tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you here. And He said, I rejoiced always before Him. I'm going to tell you, if Jesus rejoiced before God the Father, you and I as creatures redeemed by the marvelous grace of God are to lift our hands toward heaven in holiness and thank God for what God has done for us in lifting our soul out of sin and degradation. salvation and birthing us into the family of God, cleansing us of all of our sin, purifying us and making us whole. Now I want you to listen. Don't remember why leave me. Here's a verse I want to read to you. Verse 31, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth. Get this. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now, I don't want to shake none of you up.
Come on,
but Jesus said before you ever got here.
Amen.
That verse of Scripture said before Adam was ever put on the earth.
That's right.
That Scripture text says before the earth ever was.
Amen.
Before the heavens ever were.
Amen.
Before the clouds were put into their place. That the Son of God delighted in the souls of men. Oh, somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? There may not have been a man that cared for your soul. But oh, before you ever was, there was a God-man that cared for your soul. Hallelujah. And He delighted in the sons of men enough that He left the portals of glory itself, departed from the glory of the throne of grace, and come to a cross to die for your sins, to give His life a ransom that you and I might be saved. Oh, when no man cared for us, I'm telling you that Jesus cared for our soul and loved us enough to die in our place on the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Come on, preacher, preach.
I heard Chad Johnson preaching yesterday. He got to preaching on Isaac. Talking about how Abraham laid Isaac on that altar. He said Isaac was a type of a sinner. And you can't deny that he was. Ready to be crucified, if I may use the term. Ready to be crucified. But after going up that mountain, Isaac asked his father, said, here's the wood and the fire, but said, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, son, God will prepare Himself a lamb. And as he raised that knife to slay that young son of his, God spoke to him and stopped him.
Amen.
And he looked, and there was a ram caught in a thicket. No doubt caught by his antlers or horns, whatever you want to call them. And that's what signifies caught there by his own power.
Right.
And that ram become a substitute for Isaac. Isaac got off the altar, but the ram died there. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Christ that knew no sin, I don't know no other way to put this, but Christ that had no sin in His own power let our sin, if I can just put it this way, He became entangled in our sin. And it was Him. It was He that died on that altar in your and my place. We should have been crucified. When no man cared for our soul, it was so precious. Because God had breathed into it a breath of life. And it became an eternal soul. That Christ came into the world to redeem that soul. A soul that the Bible I just read you in Psalm 49 says that money can't buy. But now here's what redeems it. Stay right with me. In Leviticus chapter number 17. In Leviticus and chapter number 17. I want to read one verse of Scripture to you, Lord, being my helper, if I can find it. Verse number 17, chapter number 17, and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Amen.
And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for what? For your soul. It is the blood that made an atonement for your soul on the cross. The life of the flesh is in the blood.
Amen.
And Christ not only, get this now, Christ not only gave His blood, but He gave His flesh.
Amen.
And in His own body bare our sins on the tree. And then gave His own blood to make an atonement on the soul for you, on the altar for you and I.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, we're not redeemed, get this, with corruptible things of silver and gold, but by the blood of Christ. As a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Hey, precious things. You know what I thought when I read that? Hey, there is the blood of Christ. Woo! 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 There is the blood of Christ that's so precious. That is redeeming the soul of man that is so precious. There's two precious things come together in one place, and God Almighty made them whole. Hallelujah.
Amen
to God if you can get a hold of that. His blood's precious and the soul is precious. Two precious things came together. And God redeemed the soul of man. Now, how would you listen carefully? Listen carefully. That soul is a living, eternal soul. And it became depraved. And it had to be made alive. It had to be quickened and made alive. Not made alive, but it was depraved. But the spirit was dead. And the body was defiled. Get a hold of that. Soul depraved, spirit dead, body defiled.
Amen.
Now here it says He made an atonement for our soul. But when Christ, in chapter 5 in the book of John, when Jesus came to that pool of Bethesda and saw that man that had been laying there for 38 years.
Yeah.
Get this now. He looked on that man and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And we look at that and think, well, that's just talking about being saved. Just talking about being saved. Yeah, that's what it's talking about. And not only if he got healed physically, no question about it. But I'll tell you, the greater part there, the greater truth is that he got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And God made him whole. But what did Jesus mean when He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I'm going to tell you what He meant. Man's not going to heaven. Man's soul is not all that's going to heaven. And man's spirit is not all that's going to heaven. And man's body is not all that's going to heaven. And I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God, man's soul, body, and spirit are all going to heaven, ladies and gentlemen. And when Jesus asked that man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He was asking him, "Do you want your soul that's depraved? Do you want it? You want it made alive? Your spirit that is dead? Do you want it made alive? Your body that is defiled? Do you want it cleansed? Do you want to be made whole?" I'm telling you, that is the only way man is going to heaven, is to be made whole.
Amen.
Body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
That's what's going to heaven.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. To His wonderful name. Body, soul, and spirit. And so we ought to trust God for our soul. I'm not going to preach these. I'm just going to mention them. We ought to trust Him with our secret sins. Cain wouldn't do it. Cain hid his sin. David hid his sin. Ananias and Sapphira hid their sin. That's right. But David in Psalm 50, 32, or 32 and verse 5, he acknowledged and confessed his sin and God cleansed him.
Amen.
And I'm just telling you, we ought to trust Him with our secret sins. Somebody said, I don't have any secret sins. You're a lying, get you, gone to you, and your mammy don't want you.
Amen, preacher. That's right.
Every person in this room got something secret tucked away in their heart. And nobody knows about it but them. God knows about it, but they're even trying to hide it from God. Now, I don't have time to turn to the Scriptures, but I'm going to tell you, God sees them, friend. You better believe God sees them. I'm just going to read this one, Psalm 90 and verse number 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. The psalmist said, even our secret sins is set right in the light of Your countenance. You look right upon them. May I say, there's no hiding sin from Christ.
Amen.
Oh, no. And you, hey, I'm not talking about walking by some little booth that looks like an outhouse, a porta potty, with a slit in the side of it and dropping some money in the slot to a fella sitting in there dressed like a mama and calls himself a papa. That's not what I'm talking about at all. No, sir. I'm talking about confessing and acknowledging our sins before God.
Amen.
Because He sees them and He knows them. And we can't hide them from Him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That man in that booth, he might run and tell somebody. But you can trust Jesus.
Amen.
He'll not tell anybody.
Amen.
He'll not expose your sin. I'm confident that any and every sin that is confessed to Christ will never be exposed to man, here or at the judgment seat, either one. Never. He doesn't drag skeletons out of the closet. That's right. God will even judge the secrets of men. And I won't say in closing, we ought to trust God with our safety.
Amen.
David trusted Him in Psalm 56 in verse number 3. He said, in the time that I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Somebody, you ever been afraid? Somebody said, I've not. Well, bless God, I have. A lot of time. You get an AR-50, you get an AK-47 punched down your nose. Bless God, you'll fear and tremble. Amen.
Amen.
David in Psalm 57 talked about the calamities. God finding a refuge in Christ until His calamities be overpassed. And Esther, what about little Esther? Mordecai said, you're the only one that can go into the king. If you don't go in, our people will all be killed. And Esther said, I'll go in, and if I perish, I'll perish! She trusted in the Lord, folks, for her safety to go in before the king. And I'm telling you, the Bible clearly states, that old house of Israel, trust in the Lord. Oh, house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. All ye that fear the Lord,
Amen.
Trust in the Lord. And He'll help you. He'll be a shield to you. And He will bless you. It's what my Bible reads. Let's stand together.